If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The dancers at the club all looked familiar. I could feel the dry hum of my car's ancient engine under me as I sulked. My face was warm and ghoulish. I couldn't tell if it was from the heater or the drink flowing through my veins like a roaring river. My back felt like it had been prodded by 1,000 rusty nails. My vision stirred and wobbled worse than a drunken sailor on leave. I groaned and stretched, trying to blink away the ache. My liver moaned at me, demanding a reprieve I would not give it. My hands gripped the wheel, the foam etched away from years of abuse. As the world started to come back into focus, I heard the roar of 1 trillion raindrops gushing down. In the distance, the furious sky grumbled and flashed its lights. A violent wave was washing over me, egging my throbbing head on. I squinted and glanced out the front. A giant, neon woman danced in the rain. She only knew one move, jumping up in the air with a wink and a cheer. She stood tall, her wired frame clinging to the crimson-toned roof of the joint. I shifted in my seat, examining my surroundings. I heard cars in the distance, but the haze of the torrential downfall blocked all but the loudest of trucks. I studied the building in front of me. The neon woman did her simple routine atop the structure. It was one story, faded curtains drawn at every window, and made of chipped brick that had seen better days. A bored but stern-looking bouncer stood by the front entrance, his clothes like shadows, blending into the misty night. Slivers of playful light crept under the drawn shades, a mix of raw orange and rose red. The bouncer stood below an awning, purple and outstretched like a red carpet. In gold lettering, I could barely make out the name of the place. Bombshell Sally's. It was written in crude cursive and ended in a checky wink with the heart. It was crude and run down, though in my sordid past I could easily call a place like this home. There was a club down near the south end I used to frequent, before her. Before Aoife. My heart moaned at just the flickering thought to her name, her petite frame popping into my mind. She had curly, strawberry blonde locks, like she had waltzed out of an Irish folk song. She always had a warm smile, an even warmer touch. I am an artist by trade. I'd gone through several models by the time we crossed paths. She was by far the most magnificent. She awoke feelings in me I never knew I had. We fell madly in love. I craved her every waking moment. We had our rose, of course. What couple didn't? She had her frivolities that I tolerated. But all roads led back to me, my crimson muse. I scrambled around my pockets, my phone blinding me when I found it. I scrolled through our texts. Message after message, a disappointing lime green. It had been days now since I had laid eyes on her. Her own sparkled like a treasure trove of jewels. God, how I missed losing myself in them. Our parting had not been amicable. I'd gone on a bit of a bender. Bits and pieces of my rampage remained in my head, yet I couldn't form a picture to save my life. The sobering reality of it all began to crawl into me. I realized I had to hurry if I were to drown it. I wobbled out of the car, the night air brisk. The harsh downpour did nothing to help my drunken state. I scurried across the lot towards Sally's. The rain was colder than a witch's teat. I was shivering like a newborn calf by the time I reached the awning. The bouncer regarded me with bored disdain, his eyes hidden by blackout shades. He wore a burly leather jacket that smelled vaguely of cigars and coke. His head was clean-shaven, his lips forming a permanent grimace. I approached the bouncer, and he held out a hand. I forced a smile and straightened myself. "Good evening, sir," I remarked, careful not to slur too much. "I would like to enter this establishment, if you so please," I uttered.
"ID?"
he gruffly spoke, his expression unchanged. I fumbled around in my pockets once more, finally fishing out my wallet. I flashed at him and he stepped aside. I waltzed right in like I owned the place, the door whisking open like an old friend. The inside of the club was laid with filth-stained carpet that looked like it had been stapled to the ground. Faded brown and yellow spots were sprinkled around like a cheetah print rug. The main stage looked like it was made out of cardboard and hastily spray-painted black, a single pole standing lazily in the center. Surrounding the stage was a bar manned by one of the most beautiful creatures I had ever seen. She stood tall, polishing a mug with a dirty rag. She wore a tight-fitting black tee with a graphic of a melting butterfly on it. She wore vibrant, very form-fitting purple jean shorts. Her fingernails were painted prince purple and neatly curated, her skin a light olive tone. Her hair was voluminous, and a perfect shade of raven black. Her face could make Aphrodite herself blush. And those kind hazel eyes were almost enough to make a man forget himself. Yet Aoife persisted in my thoughts. Since I had met her, she had been the only one for me, my perfect muse. I glanced around the main room. Other patrons were slim to none. Those I did see seemed content in their midnight drink. I approached the bar and slid into a wobbly stool. The raven-haired beauty regarded me with a cheerful smile but said nothing. The air around us smelled like cheap beer and even cheaper women, the lighting dull yet vibrant in its fiery colors. From above, unseen speakers drummed and hummed some rock. I composed myself and tried to order a drink when a full glass snapped into view. The bartender leaving me with a flirty wink. As I choked the foul-tasting scotch down my throat, a DJ boomed overhead.
"Hey, hey, hey! Give a big Sally's welcome to our next Lady of the Evening! Give it up for... Candy!"
The ghostly voice roared, hyping up the dancer. From the back of the half-baked "Woo!" rang out. At the end of the walkway, a curtain unfurled. A skinny, tired-looking blonde strolled out. She wore a blue bikini and a bored look on her caked-up face. She went up to the pole and Rock droned over the overheads, and she did a half-assed routine. I recoiled away, trying to hide my disgust. She reminded me of the girls before my muse, doe-eyed and thinking they were the next big thing. Many of them were working girls. I would pluck them out of the hole they danced around in a futile attempt to make something of them, I suppose. Some of them were well-behaved, others quite an annoyance.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I would have to scold them like they were pouty children. Tell them to sit there quietly and smile while they worked. Tiring creatures, the aspiring model. My muse was different. She could brighten a room just by smiling, and was a modest thing, innocent even. Not like the thing that walked on two legs on stage. Aoife had been a dancer, or at least she wanted to. I caught one of her performances. It was very nice, I suppose. She moved with all the grace of a newborn gazelle. It began to take up too much of my time, all the practicing and whatnot. I urged her away from it. She was losing herself in her silly hobby. Eventually, she let go of her pipe dreams, and I reassured her I still loved her all the same. Watching Candy attempt a routine was just cringe. The poor thing looked strung out and was ghastly pale. As I watched her pathetic excuse of a dance, I found myself wondering, had I seen her somewhere before? There was something familiar with the apathetic look on her. When I studied her rather scrawny neck, I caught my gaze moving down towards her pale, flat stomach. I couldn't tell why that caught my attention, and I'm embarrassed at the rush of sensations that flooded my mind as I did. They were warm and cozy, like home. You never forget your first. It sticks to you like glue. Of course it wasn't her. She was long gone now. But just ogling her swaying form, the thought of sliding a dull finger across her smooth belly recalled such a delightful memory. The world around me snapped back into focus as the gorgeous bartender stepped between me and the stage. She had a bottle of scotch on one hand and an empty glass in the other.
"Fill your tank?" she offered.
She anticipated my response and plopped the glass down and filled it up. The musty scent of aged vinegar lingered in the air as she poured. She pushed the glass of booze towards me, and I drank it up. It burned going down my gullet, and I felt my insides twist and struggle against the poison tide. I winced as I slammed the empty glass down. It rattled on the shoddy bar as it did. The lights around me were brighter now, each bulb a blinding, shining star that throttled my aching vision. I squinted as the bartender leaned in, resting her pretty little head on my hands.
"You look like they just dragged you out of the harbor," she said in an exaggerated Southie accent. "Why the long face, stranger?"
she asked. I avoided her gaze. Those hazel orbs bearing down on me. "She was everything. She just had to." I shook my head as I mumbled. "It doesn't matter. Just keep 'em coming." I tapped the glass and the bartender obliged. As the world began to sway and tilt, I felt the chill tinkle the nape of my neck. Like I was being observed on all sides. The scotch continued to fight me all the way down, but I drank whatever the tender served. She just kept pouring, this devilish sneer on her face. I leaned on the counter, balancing on the wobbly stool. I felt clawed and calloused hands grip my shoulders. Out of the corner of my eyes, I saw that dolled-up thing standing behind me, her ghastly visage worse up close. I tried to shrug her off, but she tightened her grip, digging her nails into my shoulder.
"Care for a dance, lover boy?"
she said in a monotone way, and there was a ting of remembrance that flashed in my mind. It vanished as quickly as it came.
"No, I'm good,"
I grunted as I shook her off.
"Come on, just one dance to remember me by."
She slid an arm around my waist. It felt bony and cold, like a piece of driftwood. I winced and tried to wiggle my way out as the bartender laughed at my expense.
"Get off me, I said no,"
I roared at the annoying twat.
Come on now, handsome,"
the bartender started. A flash of frenzied pink darted across her irises.
"Just smile and nod. It's the proper way to behave,"
she cooed. I froze at that phrase, that faithful mannerism. My eyes widened as the heat from the overhead lights quickly became unbearable. My stomach twisted in burdened knots, and my throat became drier than the Sahara.
What did you?"
I started to whisper, but the quick whisk of a strange razor sailing across my throat gurgled my thoughts. Candy stepped away from me, her ghostly eyes emanating a piercing glow. She was smiling, soaking in my panicked chortling as my hands clutched at my neck. I collapsed to the ground, the world dancing around me as I bled out to the jeers of the club. I didn't recognize the flowing fluid pouring onto the floor at first, but as the void began to overtake me, I realized it all in my final moments. Candy knelt down and turned me over, ripping my shirt up. As she plunged the rusty blade into my soft underbelly, she never once looked away from my dying visage. She took a glean at, and right before the pain came to a sudden yet drifting end, I remembered where I had seen her before. As I said, you never forget your first. I awoke to the startling sound. The club DJ was roaring away. I was sitting back on my wobbly stool, a pain still lingering on my throat and belly. Yet, when I went to examine the damage, there was nothing but slightly raw scar tissue, like a wound hastily healed. I looked around me. The club was empty, save myself and the tender, whistling away while she pretended to clean the dirty mug. She caught me staring, and she broke out into a cheerful squeal. She brought out a big bottle of brandy and shoved it towards me.
"Bottoms up! Have a hair of the dog that bite ya!"
I could see her teeth, her smile wide and joyous. I swiped the bottle off the counter, the smash of the glass echoing across the empty club.
"What is this? Where? She couldn't have been here!"
I snapped at her.
"That'll go on your tab."
She ignored me, grumbling at the wasted brandy. I started to get up, but she grabbed my arm and twisted. She pulled me back down and I looked at her. This wild filly sure thought she was all that.
"Next event is only seconds away, Marcus. You won't want to miss it."
She giggled.
"Hey, hey, 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 party people!"
The DJ boomed, as if on cue.
"Give it up for our next performer, Brandy with an I!"
He roared as my blood ran colder than the depths of hell. From the stage came the next girl, She was short, built like a Mack truck, dark-skinned and brandishing a kitchen knife. She darted across the stage, scanning the empty room until she set her sights on me. Her face contorted in a fury few had ever known. She looked like a rabid bulldog. I staggered back, recognizing this horrid creature as well. She leapt off the stage and landed with an audible thud. I looked around the room for anything to defend myself with. The crackling of glass gave way to a slip as I fell back. Brandy leered over me with the knife, a navy blue wig atop her head. Her eyes gave off this hellish glow as she pursed her lips in a barbaric snarl.
"Evil motherfucker!"
She growled at me as she raised the knife and plunged it into my chest with a roar. I let out a gasp as the blade pierced my heart, Brandy digging the knife as far as it would go. Salty trails ran down her face as she just kept swearing at me. She dug the knife out and kept stabbing. She was an amateur with it, flaying at my chest cavity with wild fury. She carved hole after hole into me. Then there was no method, only madness. Frankly, the sloppy work of it offended me more than anything. Would have said as much if blood wasn't filling my lungs, bubbling out of my mouth in a foamy mess. Out of the corner, I saw the raven-haired girl staring down at me, a look of smug disdain on her. Her once hazel eyes now a bright pink, her skin a shade of azure blue. I could taste sulfur and iron in my mouth. And as Brandy collapsed, breaking down next to me, I just craved the empty embrace of death. Of course I woke again, and again, and again. Each time my wounds had healed like nothing had ever happened. Each time the bartender offered me a foul-tasting drink. Eventually I would awake to her forcing it down my throat, a sadistic laugh echoing around me as I choked on the strange brew. The DJ was taunting me, and the charade slowly collapsed as the woman attacking me with monstrous frenzy.
"Looking a little worse for wear there, Marcus. How about you give a warm welcome to Ember? She sure has one for you."
She smelt like singed flesh and charred remains. And after stabbing me and dousing me, she made sure I did as well.
"Come on out, Sandy, and cut him a new move!"
Sandy was a leggy blonde. She dug her high heels into my skull, making mincemeat into my innards as she danced on my grave.
"Gut him like the disgusting pig he is, Rachel!"
A fiery redhead. She had a hot temper. She had been difficult. She liked to box in her spare time. It hadn't saved her, of course. She beat me to death with her bare hands and tore me apart like a savage beast. Each time I awoke like I was being jolted back from the brink. I was weaker, paler, like a piece of my own soul had been torn from me and tossed into the abyss. There were so many, you see. It was slow to recall them all at first, but I knew each and every one of them. Dare I say, intimately. It was rare they knew me. Maybe a quick glance at the gym or a vague recollection of being eyed across the bar. I would pitch them woo and beg to paint their portrait. More often than not, they took the bait. A lot of them had worked to the corners. No one missed them. I would subdue them, then take them to a quiet place and, well, did what I did best. I would use their frail tissue as canvas and paint to my heart's content, sculpt their flesh into something beautiful. Sometimes they would awake during, well, that was part of the thrill. I would take my trusty switchblade and press it against their cheek. That was usually enough. Over the years, I experimented and tweaked my craft. The urge, the yearning to admire and explore every crevice of my models haunted my every waking moment. It became a slogging chore, really, scratching that itch. The bottomless pit of my own depravity was starting to shock even myself. So, I took some me time. I promised myself I would get to know my next model. Enter Aoife. Sweet, timid, trusting Aoife. I swept her off her feet, and she latched onto my cold black heart. She was so kind, so caring. I lavished her with affection and praise, and she lapped it up like a needy pup. Her neediness was such a godsend. Her adoration filled a hole in my chest I didn't even know I had. Then, of course, it all went to hell when she found my paintings. My many murders at the hands of these scorned specters were starting to wear me down. I awoke once more, sprawled onto the filthy, stained floor. Spittles of drool inched out of my mouth, and my head was still whirling from the sensation of being split open with a tire iron. My whole body ached and cracked. It had been battered and molded back together so many times now. My skin felt like it was on fire. My organs cried out in agony and despair. Even the simple act of blinking invited a searing phantom pain. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see the bartender smirking at me. My jailer. She leered over me, this ravenous look in her eyes. She was getting a sick pleasure out of watching me suffer, I'm sure of it. I wasn't about to let her get the satisfaction of breaking me, so I pulled myself up to face her. She began pouring some foul concoction, but I snatched it out of her hand and broke the bottle against the counter. I brandished my makeshift dagger at her like a raving loon. Her nonchalant demeanor never wavered. "You seem dissatisfied with the service," she remarked.
"Cut the shit! What is this? This madness!"
I bellowed.
"Just a taste of your own medicine, killer!"
She mocked me. I roared and swiped the broken bottle at her, hitting nothing but air with the lingering scent of strawberries. I was alone once more. Even the brain DJ was abruptly silent. The air around me was tense and accusing. I began to hear nasty, jealous whispers. They told me I would burn for my crimes. They would be there to watch me choke on my last breath. Meaningless scorn, really. After all, I had died before. They had burned me, stabbed me, tore me limb from limb. Whatever this place was, despite all the pain and torment, I just got back up again. I laughed at their vicious mockery, the bile these wretched souls spewed. I would escape this endless torment and take my time with the tender. Oh yes, a beauty such as she surely has such sights to show me. The thought of peeling my captor's tan skin from her hide distracted me, and I didn't hear the dainty steps of someone creeping from behind.
"Marcus,"
a soft voice whispered, and my bloodthirsty delusions shattered. I turned to see bloodshot eyes staring at me. Mascara ran down her pale, freckled cheeks. A slump in my throat formed, and I almost looked away, but something forced me to commit my work to memory. Her neck was still a deep purple. You could make out every little indent of where my hands had been. The thing that stung me to the core. She didn't look angry. There was no malice or fury in her face. She just looked sad. Guilt washed over me, perhaps for the first time in my life. The cutter fell from my hands and clattered to the ground. I collapsed to my knees, tears starting to swell. Aoife looked down on me, her face shifting with betrayal and pity. I took her hands, her deliciously soft hands, and wept into them. So stood frozen for a moment, then quickly pulled back. I looked her up, her mournful eyes like shimmering emeralds.
"I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, my beloved. My treasured muse,"
I cried out. She was silent at my grief. I tried to hold her, to gain any sort of comfort from her, but she recoiled away at my touch. It was like an arrow had pierced my heart. Behind her, the bartender lurked. Horns had sprouted from her head, curled and rimmed like a mountain goat. She gently touched Aoife's shoulder, who shuddered at first, but then calmed herself. She leaned into my beloved ears and whispered poison into them. Aoife took a deep breath, her bruised neck shifting as she swallowed her fright.
You can't even name one thing you loved about me, can you?
She whispered. I scoffed at the accusation. The she-demon that had tormented me had to try harder than that. Of course, your beauty outshines even the sparkle of the sun. Your hair is like the fires of a phoenix. I waxed, only to be shoved away from her.
I'm talking about me, what I liked, who I was, my dreams. I wanted the dance, and you took that from me,
she said, her voice chiller than a newborn frost. I tried to defend myself, to explain it all, but I never got the chance. She lunged at me, a surprising strength in her grip. The heartbreaking betrayal in her emeralds had been replaced by fiery contempt as she wrapped her tiny hands around my throat. It was an odd sensation, this tiny woman attempting to throttle the life out of me. I could feel my airway tighten and close, the last breath I could muster flying out of my nostrils as I gasped. I could feel my face begin to warm, the blood rushing to my face at the speed of light. My eyes bulged as they filled with fluid. It was like being choked by a machine. I was trapped in her deadly vice. Even she seemed surprised at how easy it had been. I thudded my hands at her side, a useless gesture. The world around me began bloody static, my muse's face contorting in righteous rage. The she-demon was beside her, gently encouraging her. The raven-haired demon regarded me with contempt and spoke her final insult to me.
"I've been looking for you for a long time. I doubt you remember her name, and I doubt you care what she meant to me. I figured this little preview was the least I could do. It's not much comfort for them, your models. But damned if seeing you lie there doesn't make me feel good at least."
She spat at me. With that, I sunk into the inky void, my last thoughts still lingering on my beloved Aoife. I didn't awake again. Not there, anyway. I was drifting in an endless void. I felt restless spirits pass by me, their anger quenched as they passed on. Yet their hatred lingered, stamped onto my soul. Eventually, reality snuck back into being, ironically, and I saw a bright light, and I clawed my way to it. That light gave way to a flower print room that smelled like anomia and the elderly.
I was tucked into a bed, stale blankets holding me in place. I tried to get up, but was stopped by the rattle of cuffs shackling me to the bedpost. To my left was an EKG machine mindlessly beeping. I grunted as I rattled my chains. My whole body felt like I had just been run through a blender. I heard an audible gasp from the doorway, and a nurse rushed out to get someone. I expected some doctor to come in, tell me that it was all going to be all right. Imagine my surprise when a detective walked in, grim pleasure plastered on his shaven face. He read me my rights and rattled off a list of charges. I sunk deep into the bed, not having the will to defend myself or the truth. As he left, he turned back, a smug look on his face.
"I'm glad you woke up. Maybe they'll let me stick the needle in you myself."
With that, he walked off. The next few months were a tiresome blur. I sleepwalked through my brief trial. The skirt-wearing ADA let the evidence speak for itself. Supposedly, after I had slaughtered my muse, her words not mine, I was consumed with guilt for the horrific nature of my crimes and went on a binge that resulted in a car crash. As they were pulling me from the wreckage, that's when her body was found, along with my wondrous paintings. It didn't take long for them to put two and two together, and the capture of the South End Ripper was lauded with praise and outrage it hadn't been sooner. I was in a coma for several weeks. Cops, feds, reporters, and who knows who else, in and out, just waiting to pounce on me the moment I woke, if at all. The public defender tried to plead insanity, and on appeal tried to argue it once more. That fell on deaf ears, of course, and so I sit on the Green Mile, awaiting the day of my execution. The sordid purgatory I found myself in. I remember it still. I would have thought the fond memories of my deeds would comfort me in these final days, but they're tainted by that awful place. Every time I try to recall the warm feeling of blood on my face, I cringe in pain at the memory of my throat being slit, my skin burning, my heart aching at the sight of my muse rejecting me. Those memories are worthless. My legacy shattered. She took it all from me. That damned demon. I don't know who she was, but I have the irkling feeling that she bore a striking resemblance to that courtroom skirt. ADA Masters, whose hazel eyes bore into me with such hatred, such familiarity. It's only a few days now, and I know I'll see that demon again, mocking me behind the two-way glass as they strap me down and stick the needle in. Sometimes she appears in my dreams, counting down the days, laughing at me with the rest of my models. I don't know why I write this down now. My final confession, I suppose. Soon, I'll enjoy my models on the other side. Though I suspect we'll have different destinations.